These Jesuit missionaries were entrusted with a lot. And they faithfully dispensed the gifts. If you read, I'm trying to remember now if it's in the Magnificat of the Breviary, where Brebeuf is writing, he's French. And he says, when you get over here, remember, nobody's impressed with our theology and philosophy degrees. They don't even know what they are. If you can carry on your back the load that a horse carries, like they do, they'll admire that. And he goes on to explain this love for the Indian people and this drive to bring them the Lord. And then, as you know, he was martyred. He was in ecstasy during most of his martyrdom. And the Indians saw this patience in suffering. And as I guess they said in the book there, they ate his heart because they wanted that kind of courage. You know. So that's the beginning of the faith in North America among the people who lived there before we got here. It's still a task to be accomplished. I was just thinking, why? Why do they still live on reservations? Well, they like the company of the others. They like their own way of life and so forth. But they don't know the Lord. And they have a particular, as you know, weakness for alcohol. It affects them in a way more powerfully than us. And so they easily become alcoholics. And so we should pray for them. That mission to which these men gave their lives is still not accomplished. And there are some great priests. I really want to talk about Romans, but I'll tell you the story about Rick Thomas. A Jesuit who was assigned to a reservation out in the West asked Rick to come and give some talks to people, to the Indian people there. So he went. And of course, there's a bar every block, I guess, you know. And he said to his friend, that's demonic, you know. That slavery to alcohol is demonic. And the friend said, I mean, no, it's in their genes, it's, you know. It, you know. He said, that's tomorrow. So he bought a whole bunch of salt, put it into a big bucket, blessed it. Then he went around throwing the salt into the bars. And the guys came out of the windows and the doors screaming. He said, you see? You see, that's the bondage. Okay. So we should pray for that mission. I mean, the dignity of these people, that they know the Lord Christ. They have a patron saint from their own, Tikaquitha. Get her to start praying. A little bit about Romans 6. Very little bit. This is a key chapter. It's always been in the community a key chapter. It's from this chapter that we get the teaching on the power of the cross. The power of the cross is really the power of the indwelling Christ, fixed in the act of love in which he died. And this treatise on baptism, because that's what it is, it's a treatise on baptism, you see. Sin, now you've got to realize for Paul, he spells sin with a capital S. It's a power, it's a force. It's demonic. And it takes root in us. and can kill us. And it finds a home, and it finds a certain sympathy. Ever since original sin, there is this sympathy with sin, capital S. Sin must not reign over your mortal bodies, so that you obey the desires of these bodies. Because our bodies, our psyches, our minds, they're throbbing to go in the wrong direction. You might have noticed this. And it's the power of the cross that puts that drive to death. But we have to call on it. It's not magic, but it's calling on the gift of baptism. You see? And so he's describing this. He's already verse 12. I wish we'd started verse 1, but we didn't. So you have to realize that sin, for Paul, is spelled with a capital S. It's this force made up of the industrial, military, political, economic, entertainment world. It's a force. It's Satan working through these forces. And when they go nuts, as they have in our country, you can see the result. Chaos. And people dominated by sin. Even if they're not drunk all the time, they're full of hatred and fear and nervousness, and they think stealing is okay, and to say nothing of the sexual morality of our country. And if by some unfortunate turnout the woman conceives, well, she just gets an abortion. That's the reign of sin, with a capital S. Now, what happens in baptism is, let's look at this, then I'll have to quit. But let's take family A and family B. Family A. The guy, he wants money, clothes. He's working all the time, not faithful to his wife. The kids are sort of a unexpected consequence of sex. I mean, there they are, so wife, take care of them. And he goes on. Well, the wife resents that. Of course. So, and the kids see it, and they pick it up. That house is chaos. Sin reigns there. Now take a house where the man loves his wife, respects her, loves her, cares for her, is home caring for the children with his wife. The wife responds to that. The kids see that. And you get homeschoolers or something. You know, you get a family. Now imagine you take a child from this family A, and by baptism, they're put into family B. Whew. But they bring over to family B all the instinctive drives they had in their own family. That's sin. And so it has to be dealt with. And that is the power of what we call in the community, the power of the cross. The power of the cross is not magic. The power of the cross is the power of Jesus Christ indwelling us through baptism, who, in the power of his own act of love, is putting sin to death in us. If we call on it, if we want to die to capital S sin, which is this whole industrial, military, social, entertainment, blah, 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 complex that I just described, which we live in, which we breathe, which we, you know, which we imbibe through the television. That's sin with a big S. Sin with a little S is what we do. But it's connected to that. And therefore, you see, we start in verse 12. but it starts, don't you know that we who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized, you know the rest of that, what does it say? Into his death, into the act of love in which he quit this world and went to the Father. And that's what he's talking about. Huh? Then we always have time for the last line. But thanks be to God that although you were once slaves of sin, you have become obedient from the heart to the pattern of teaching to which you were entrusted. Pattern of teaching, the typos, tis didakis. Huh? It's truth. Teaching. That's why it's so important to take care of our minds. You see? And then it says, you see, you have been obedient from the heart to the pattern of teaching. You might not have caught this. To which you were entrusted. Not which was entrusted to you. You are entrusted to this expression of truth and reality. God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, Jesus Christ, God, man, coming and teaching us, dying in an act of love, setting us free from sin, promising us eternal life, teaching us the way to live, continuing to teach us through the church. That is the pattern of teaching to which we are entrusted if we obey from the heart.